If you have your Bible with you, open up to Amos again. Hallelujah. There's some very powerful words spoken over you. You know, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, in keeping with the prophecies once spoken over you, he said, some have shipwrecked, some have neglected these and so shipwrecked their faith. He said, to press in through these prophecies. Sometimes if it's a real living word from God and you can tell if it is or not, you know, he's got things in there that you can write that down. That's one of the arts that have been lost in this generation is we hear things from the Lord, but we don't write them down. If you grab a pen and ask the Lord to speak, you'd be shocked how many times He'll all of a sudden open up and start talking. And the reason He doesn't talk to you the rest of the day is because you're not respecting His rhema word. And what I mean by that is when God says something, He expects it to be more precious than gold to us. And His word is more precious than gold. And when we respect His word to a high esteem and expect God to speak a real living word to us and grab a pen, He sees that as honor. And if we're willing to, if you start to write things down that God speaks to you by His Spirit, you'll find that He speaks to you more and more. See, the prophets of old, they carried a scribe, followed them around. A lot of times they'd have a scribe with them and you know, they would speak things and they'd get written down right away. Amen. And you know, most of your book is full of prophecies because of that. A scribe wrote it down. The prophet spoke on his... Sometimes, you know, it says, as the prophet has written. Sometimes the prophet just wrote it down. God would speak it, and as He was speaking by His Spirit to their spirits, they'd speak it out and then they'd write it down right away. I'm telling you right now, that's the way to receive. You want to hear from God. Expect that expectation. That's why the Lord told me to do the prayer lines different. He said, you don't have a worship team behind you. You are the worship team. He said, right now, this is the way I've called you to do it. And there's a way, because He said, in my presence, there's more words that I want to say. There's more things that I want to do to the people. And we want to attain to better anointings and so on and so forth. If you can find the book of Amos with me. We're going to go to chapter 6 again. We took a pass at this, but the Lord gave me more just at random. I want you to see this. He says in Amos chapter 6, let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Your word You sent to heal us and deliver us from our own destructions, Lord. We honor and respect what You've said, Lord, and we want to hear more. We want to become, as a church, we want to become so sensitive to Your voice, Father, that when we go out and witness, we get words of knowledge and things to change people's lives. We want You to show us secret things that nobody knows but You, Lord, to get these people saved, these hard-hearted people, Lord. Help us, Lord, to train us in Your voice, train us in the things of Your Spirit that we can grow and develop and just hear You in a whisper all the time. Not just sometimes, but all the time, Lord. And help us to make the choice to spend much time alone with You, because that's the only way to hear You clearly, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. He says in Amos chapter 6, woe to you who are complacent in Zion. Now he's calling it's troubles coming. It's not good, right? And he's going to go on and explain why, what he viewed as complacent. Real quickly, what he viewed as complacent, you know, the New American Standard Version says you are at ease. In other words, you're comfortable with where you're at. But the reason he would start a chapter that way is because there's a reason they should not be comfortable with where they're at. But they were comfortable. They thought everything was okay. You know, and he says here, and you who feel secure in Mount Samaria, on Mount Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nation, to whom the people of Israel, come. Go to Calneh and look at it. Go from there to Great Hamath and go down to Gath and Philistia. Are they better off than your two kingdoms? Is your land larger than theirs? You put off the evil day and bring near a reign of terror. You lie on beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves. You strum away on harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end. In other words, he's speaking to his people. He's saying, look, because of your spiritual condition, you're the first ones that are going to get taken into exile. In other words, you're going to get taken into bondage. Judgment is coming, is what he's saying to them. And you can see how they were living. They were living as if everything was okay. He said they used the finest lotions. In other words, they're just, basically, you just look at America. You look at this culture. You look at our culture. This is how most Christians are living. They go about their business. They go about their daily life as if there's nothing wrong. That something like 150,000 people are dying every single day and a majority of them are going to hell. They just go about their business like God wants us to just live in all this pleasure. Now God wants you blessed. But He wants that to be so far from your mind that the only thing that matters to you is God's kingdom and His righteousness and following His voice. He wants the things of the Spirit to be so important to you that from the moment you rise to the moment you lie down in your bed and pull the covers over yourself, that your focus is on Him. He's everything to you. That's when He becomes a priority to you, that's when the material things will start to come to you. Otherwise, we can forget it. You're going to have to get it by unjust means. It will not be God's perfect will the way you go about getting it. So He says that they were, you know, they were eating, they're banqueting, they're going on about their business. And He says, but you're complacent in my eyes, He says here, because He says you don't grieve over the ruin of Joseph. In other words, because the problems that had arisen because of the people, He expected them to grieve. In other words, like He said in James, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. In other words, intercession. You should be fasting and praying because people are lost, they're dying, they're going to hell. They're dropping in there so fast. These people are going to suffer forever in unimaginable torment that you can't even fathom with your mind. It's so bad. You've never experienced anything like it. The first minute that they're there will feel like 20 years. It's so bad. And when God looks over the earth and He sees people complacent as if everything's okay, it's because their hearts are hard. They're so full of flesh. And the reason they're so full of flesh, and this is the first and foremost reason that most of the church is full of flesh, is because they do not fast. They do not fast. And their flesh has gained ascendancy over their spirit man, and it dominates them, and it also puts a veil over their eyes so they cannot see. Everything they see is through the eyes of the flesh. So when they look, every situation they look at, they view it through the eyes of the flesh. And the things of the Lord are not important to them because the things of the Word are not important to them. If you were to ask most people in America if they're okay with Jesus, say, yeah, I got a fish on my car. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would, you know, when He looked over to Jerusalem, He said He wept over it. Jesus was a man of compassion, a man of intercession. He made intercession for the transgressors, it says in Isaiah 53. You know, and He always lives to make intercession for anybody, but the thing is, because He's the head and we're His body, He needs to make that intercession through us. Paul said this, the Holy Spirit through Paul said this, in Galatians 4:19, He said, my dear children, for whom again I bewail, or in other words, I'm in the pains of childbirth till Christ be formed in you. So the Holy Spirit was grieved over the condition of the church of Galatia because they were backsliding back under the law. But the majority, how much more grieved is the Holy Spirit over the people that are lost and dying and going to hell? He needs someone.
Amen.
He needs you.
Amen.
He needs you to grieve over the condition of the body of Christ. It's not a healthy body. It's the end day church. It is a complacent, lazy church that's blinded by sin. He calls it the apostate church. It's an apostasy. They've fallen away. They honestly believe they're okay, but the majority of them will have to find out that they were not okay when they missed the rapture. Because they did not make the things of God a priority. So as a result, they did not humble themselves and evangelize the lost. They did not evangelize the world. They will get a perfect opportunity. When wars break out on this earth, when beasts come in from the country inside because there's so much calamity, when peace is taken from this earth, there's famine. People have to bar their houses shut because looters are coming to steal the little bit of food they have. They will have plenty of opportunity to evangelize the lost when rumor after rumor spreads and constant fear and terror is striking them because they have no idea. They're apprehensive for what is falling upon the world. Hallelujah. If that doesn't put the fear of God in myself, I don't know what. Telling you right now, God's got something to say. You got a pastor that stands before you that spends all day long in the presence of God. I'm just here telling you what He wants you to hear.
Amen.
He wants you to fear Him, so we will fast and we will pray and we will grieve over the lost so we can win this county together for God. Now, we may not be able to save the whole entire world as individuals, but if the whole body of Christ will rise up together in unity and humble themselves and become a body that functions, the hand, the foot, the eye, the ear, the nose, everything together connected to the head, we can go forth together and win this world for Christ and at least make a difference. Amen? So he was upset. He says, "Woe to you who are complacent. Woe to you who are complacent." Now, and you saw their condition. They were going about, you know, it's like he said to the Laodicean church, he said, "I'm rich." This is how they view themselves. "I'm rich. I've acquired wealth. I don't need a thing." He said, "But you do not realize." In other words, you're spiritually blind, he says. He says you're blind. You don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So there's, in their eyes, you know, the one church that says you have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. So all the rest of the believers are running around going, "Come on, let's go to this church. I mean, revivals happen over here. Woo, this is revival. I'm telling you right now, you got to see the miracles are taking place." But in God's eyes, he says, that's not it. That's not it. And the reason it's not it is because they were not humbling themselves.
Amen.
In intercession. Because there's something even more powerful than believers coming together and receiving miracles that they should have been able to receive from the hand of God without the laying on of hands. There's something even more important to God. There's something that God would consider sowing seeds toward the revival that's even more important than all that. It's called fasting and prayer, amen? Communicating with God, crying out for the souls that are lost, crying out for our families. I mean, my goodness, if you don't even care that your families aren't saved and the rapture's about to happen, how dare you walk in here with pride and a chip on your shoulder? You should be ashamed, amen? We should humble ourselves. If your family is not actively attending a born-again, spirit-filled church right now, I mean, if I were you, you should go home and fast and pray over it. That's serious business, because if those people miss the rapture, the odds are against them to go to heaven. It's going to be much more difficult. He says, men's hearts will fail them, apprehensive, fearful events that are taking place on the earth. He said, because of the increase of wickedness, that once the church is taken out, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. When there's no one there to expose their darkness, when there's no salt as a preservative to stop them from being wicked, they will set up altars on every street corner. They will set up idol worship on every street corner where there's temple prostitutes. It's coming, my people. It's coming upon this earth. And lust and sexual perversions will run so rampant that it would turn even the most carnal, true believer. It would turn their stomach when they found out what was coming on down on the earth. We need to get serious about God. Amen. Now look at this. Check this out here. So the prophet Amos, God used him by the Holy Spirit and spoke eternal words and said, look, you're complacent. You're not mourning. You're not grieving. And you're not making intercession for Jacob. You're not making intercession for the people of God. And look at this. We're going to see someone who does make intercession for those same people. So you're going to see one spiritual condition on one hand, and you're going to see the spiritual condition of someone who's sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amos chapter 7, verse 1. This is what the Sovereign Lord showed me. He was preparing swarms of locusts after the king's share had been harvested, and just as the second crop was coming up, when they had stripped the land clean, I cried out, Sovereign Lord, forgive. How can Jacob survive? He's so small. Who's he making intercession for? God's people, Jacob. Isn't that the same thing from chapter 6? Who he just got done? The same Holy Spirit through the same prophet was rebuking the rest of the people because they were complacent. And now here we have a prophet of God, a true man of God, who's sensitive to the Holy Spirit, doing the exact opposite of what they is. They're all sitting with their feet up on couches, acting like everything's okay, relaxed, they were at ease. And this prophet's crying out to God because he can see calamity coming. Because he's sensitive to God, he can foresee and predict what is ahead. And as a result, he responds through fasting and prayer and calling upon the name of the Lord. And the result is this. Forgive, he says. How can Jacob survive? He's so small. So the Lord relented. That's all it took. All it took is someone who could see into the spirit realms what was going to take place. Someone who could foresee because they were close enough to God. They stood in the counsel of God. They closed, like Jesus said, they went into their bedroom and closed the door and stood in the presence of God. And as a result, God was able to communicate with this person, with the prophet Amos, through the Holy Spirit. And the end result is he foreseed something, he saw it. He called upon God's name to stop it. He stood in the gap and made intercession, and God stopped the judgment. That judgment was coming like a full-blown train right at the people of God. But he stood in the gap. He said, I humble myself. I will fast and pray. Here I am. I know that it's not comfortable to do. I know that I'm going to have to suffer, and I'm going to have to sacrifice. In this generation, you'd say, sacrifice your TV. You're going to have to sacrifice playing around on your phone and shut the thing off.
Amen.
Shut the text messaging off. Shut the internet off.
Amen.
Put on sackcloth and ashes, so to speak, and get down on your face, lay prostrate before the Lord. Lay down before the Lord. And allow Him to speak and communicate with you. Allow Him to reveal things to you and allow Him to speak words of authority through you to stop the judgment that's coming so fast upon the people of this earth. You know, because if you spend enough time in God's presence, He'll show you things. Yet, just yesterday I went out witnessing and there was a man and I found out he was a Jewish man and I thought, I want to get this guy saved. I said everything I needed to say, and he was ready to leave, and I turned away, and the compassion of God rose up. I said, God, give me something that I don't know for this man. And he immediately came back with a revelation that this man's mother died when he was very young. I turned around, I said, where's your mother? I said, where's your father? He said, they're not around. I said, I know your mother died when you're young. I said, you know how I know that? I said, the Holy Spirit told me because He wanted to make Himself real to you. I said, God has something for you to do. Repent of your sin and give your life over to Him. Made him very nervous. I had a attentive ear for about 10 minutes before that, but after that it shocked him so bad that he was done with it. It gave him a chance. It took him to a turning point. He had to make a choice. He had to make a choice to accept that Jesus was the Messiah or not. That's because we stand in the presence of God. Sometimes you just can't give up so easily. You need to call upon God right there in the middle of an intersection. Right there with cars going to the left and cars going to the right and cars passing side by side. I was right there by the light post. And I called right there upon God and I said, God, give me something for this man. I don't know this man. Give me something. I've got to have something for this man. And He gave it. The bread came down from heaven. Why is that? That's not because I'm a pastor. That's not because I'm an apostle, a prophet, a teacher, an evangelist. That is because I spend all my time alone with God and in His Word, praying in the other tongues. And the end result is, when you minister to Him, He will minister to you. God performs for those who worship Him. He will perform for you. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more time He will perform for you. He will put His acts of kindness and love and mercy and grace upon display through the person who lifts up their hands in worship and spends a whole lot of time talking to Him. If you don't spend time alone to God, there's going to be a whole lot of spirits talking to you, but it's not going to be the Holy Spirit. And we see that. Now, check this out here. This will not happen, the Lord said. So He relented, verse 3. Now check out verse 4. Here's another revelation. This is what the Sovereign Lord showed me. The Sovereign Lord was calling for judgment by fire. That's what's coming upon this earth. Judgment by fire. It dried up the great deep and devoured the land. Then I cried out, Sovereign Lord, I beg you, stop! How can Jacob survive? He is so small. So the Lord relented. So He again said, judgment's coming. The Holy Spirit just showed me judgment's coming. He jumped in the gap. He said, stop! It's too much to bear. And the result is God stopped the judgment. So God showed him. He said, this is going to happen. The prophet says, don't do it. And he says, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. God will change His mind for certain things if people stand in the gap when it comes to judgment. Amen. Sometimes God will show you people. He'll show you things about people and He'll show you a strong judgment coming. He's not showing you for your entertainment. He's not showing because that person just spit in your face and he wants you to let it happen and get them destroyed because they're so mean to you. He's showing you not for your entertainment. He's showing you because He wants you to allow the Spirit of God and the compassion and love of God to rise up within you and you to yield to it and say, stop! Amen. We don't want this to happen, Lord. Forgive. Forgive them. They don't know what they do.
Hallelujah.
This will not happen either, the Sovereign Lord said. So He stood in judgment two times and it stopped. He stopped the judgment of God. He stopped the judgment of God. Now, we want to be one used as an intercessor. In order to make true intercession for God, it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's no better way to make intercession for the saints in accordance to the will of God than by praying in other tongues. This is why even most of your denominations out there in the body of Christ reject that gift because they're more dominated by their flesh. He says they're sense ruled, not having the Spirit. They're so intellectual that if they can't understand something with their reasoning minds of worldly wisdom, that they reject it as a fallacy. They reject it as some weird thing. When in God's eyes it is the most precious thing. And we need to treat it as such. We need to We need to spend much time praying in the Holy Ghost. So let's just take a minute and let's pray for our families and let's just pray for all the things going on. And feel free to use your authority. And you know, the best way to break the power of the devil off your family is just say, real simple, I break the power of Satan off of so-and-so in Jesus' name and I claim their full salvation for Jesus. That's it. Amen. And then don't say anything. How's so-and-so doing? Yeah, you should see him now. They're out in the bars. They're doing that. No. Don't ever again. If anybody asks you how they're doing, say I'm believing God, they're going to church. What church are they going to? Say, I'm believing God, they're going. I don't think they're going. Say, it doesn't matter what you think. If they keep pushing it, just say, I can't talk to you about this anymore. We're going to have to talk another time. And walk away. Because that person's being used by the devil right there. So let's lift up our voices. Michelle, come in here and close the door. And let's just pray out to the Lord. Oh, la ma papa sede che le combra ma casia. Rod blom blom brca blonde che blonde che blonde che blonde che blebre che lo tie ma chia ma ca. Rod la che ma che si che. I'm just going to say this because it's something you just revealed to me and it's something else you own. So some of you, sometimes people feel all this joy all the time, like everything's so funny, but that joy's coming from the devil. If everything seems so funny to you all the time and you always think everything's so funny, that's because your flesh is so full of demonic spirits. You're so controlled by the devil. There's a joy that comes from the Lord, but it's not that joy. There's two kinds of joy. There's a joy that the devil gives you when you're not doing what is right, when you're in rebellion. Amen. He fortifies your emotions with all sorts of feelings of joy and ecstasy, like everything's okay. But it's coming from the devil. That's a word for somebody. Robra makasiki letombra bakasiki letombra bakia. Rod the blabra bakasiki letombra bakarakasia. Rod the blabra. Father, we take authority over all the power of the enemy. We cancel the power of the enemy off our families in Jesus' name. We bind you, Satan, from blinding our families' minds in Jesus' name. We claim the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is shining in their minds forever. We loose angels and the power of God to produce an atmosphere conducive to salvation in their lives right now, Father. We thank you. We call them into the house of the Lord. We call them in, Father. We claim their souls for Jesus. We stand in the gap, Father. We stand in the gap for them in Jesus' name. Father, I would that you put it in the hearts of these people a compassion for the lost, that they would fast and suffer for the gospel and join in with the Holy Spirit and do what's necessary, Father, for their families to be saved. Father, I pray for them that you'd put a relentless hunger in them that they can't even think unless it's a thought of God. That they can't even breathe unless it's the breath of God. That they can't even feel unless it's the feelings of God passing through their soul, Father. I pray that they're just the love of God rises up in them and everything they do is of you, Lord. Give her grace, Lord. Give her grace, Lord. Give her grace, Lord. You know, Paul said, because of the abundance of my revelation, these calamities have come upon me. He said, we're hard pressed on every side. It's like a compactor. I mean, I can't tell you some of the things that people go through for other people when it comes to the love. I mean, you'd be amazed with some of the things the devil, I mean, there can be days, if you're in ministry, if you're called to ministry, there can be days you think that you're having a hard day when 3-4 bad things happen. There can be days when you're in ministry where every 15 seconds another thing comes to bombard you. It just feels like, how can you go on? It's when you call out to God, you call upon His throne, you call out on His name and say, God, help me. Amen. You know, it says that Jesus, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death, and He was heard because of His reverent submission. Although He was a son, He learned obedience from what He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all that Him obey Him, was designated to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. What is He saying? He said that there were times in Jesus' walk, He was constantly crying out to God for help. And if you're not that reliant upon God yet, then you probably aren't doing nothing for Him. It's not until your life gets, it's going to get harder. Your walk with God, as you go into God, it never gets easier. It gets harder, but as you get stronger, you become more sensitive to God and you realize and can discern what needs to be done. Amen. This is a business. It's God's business.
Yeah.
And it's serious business. Amen?
Amen.
We don't want to play church. We want to join in. Paul said, join in with me for the suffering for the gospel. There's suffering. Anybody, if they're not, when you say God's got a wonderful plan for his life, you can tell them that God's got stonings and stores, imprisonments, chains, riots. You may get beheaded. You may get killed. That's what's really in store for Christians oppressing a God. It never, he said, those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's pursue relentlessly after a cause. That's to steal the word out of you. He never said it was going to be easy. Anybody preaching that is a false teacher. Stay away from them. That's the exact opposite. You know, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, he said the suffering, the kingdom, and the perseverance that are ours in Jesus. The suffering is one of the things he called out. He didn't say the cakewalk. He didn't say the walking on flowery beds at ease and people fanning you and saying, oh, hail you Christian. That's it's exact opposite. Forget about it. It's not supposed to be easy. And sometimes he calls us to make a choice to follow him. He calls us to make a choice to follow what he's called us to do, or he calls us either that or you're going to follow your emotions and get led astray. My eyes go to and fro, looking for those who stand in the gap. So stand in the gap, says the Lord. Stand in the gap. Be one who will stand before those who've invoked judgment upon themselves and stand in the gap. For you're my body. You're connected to me. Let my compassion rise up within you so you can set those in prison free. For they are captive and they're locked in everlasting chains. But if you will call upon me using my authority and use my name, you can break them free. And then you will find that at the end of this road, you will be blessed. For you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings with great rejoicing and joy for all those you set free from the enemy who had them oppressed, says the Lord.
Amen.